Okay, that's going. Give me a minute to get the live going.
Byron sitting back there.
That sounds like the sink gurgling or something.
Yeah, it does, something.
So which one is it?
I've heard bugs sound like that too when they're like fluttering.
Oh, whatever.
I'm hoping my glasses don't fog up too badly so
well,
I can still read.
That's what mine does. Crazy.
They seem to twist it. And I'm trying that right here at your ear.
If you can put your glasses
yeah,
on top
it.
Of the net.
Yeah,
it does help.
But then I kind of can breathe.
Yeah, it's harder to breathe, right.
Can you imagine what these nurses have been going through?
Oh, working? I know.
I cannot. I'm thinking about keeping it on 12 hours. And
yeah.
Putting other stuff on over top of it.
Yeah, Amber, I had to meet you.
I have
pardon me, Carol.
Sure.
Friends who work, you know, at the front line and have been, you know, that's posting pictures on Facebook. They've all got the masks and they're wearing them all night long while they work. And I'm like, wow.
That would be tough. I mean, if the job isn't hard enough. To
right.
Have to do it all dressed like that.
All right. Oops, I'm gonna get it down.
It's like, kind of like they wear hazmat suits when they deal with the COVID patients.
Yeah.
I tried it singing Sunday at church, and I like it like this. I had sweat in my face. I don't know why. Like I couldn't breathe.
Amber, if you have something you need to say on public comment time, wave at me, and I'll unmute you.
All right. So, does everybody know Patton? Patton Graham?
Hi, Patton.
Just started this meeting.
Wait one second, hold on.
I'm not really, I was just making sure everybody kind of
spotted
him.
Okay, we're recording, so we're good.
All right, so we can call the meeting to order. Well, this is our first attempt at the COVID-19 social distancing masking, so we'll see how it goes. Hopefully everybody can hear everybody with the mask muffling us. So we're wearing masks and shouting at each other. So she put the recorder over here, so you'll have to speak up when you comment. All right, so we have some folks, at least one, maybe a couple on WebEx that are staff, right? And she's still setting up the Facebook Live for public access, public comment.
Do you mind if I get everyone's names? Because I don't know people with a mask on.
Patton, I'm Carol. I'm Libby Hoffman's sister.
Are you really?
So you can make a connection.
Oh, my star. Wow.
Best sister in the world.
Okay. I would have to agree with you. And your last name?
Greer.
You all resemble each other.
Yeah. She's the younger, prettier one. Smarter, I don't know.
And I'm Iris Worley.
Iris Worley. Mm-hmm. I've seen your name in lots in the deed records. Hmm. I work at the courthouse in the deed records.
Okay.
I just.
Rob Farmer.
Okay.
Helen Conley.
I know you. Spelling name D-E-M-M?
D-E-A-N-I-E is my first name, Deanie, and then Dimick, D-I-M-I-C-K.
Okay.
And you remember me from when I was on the board and you were advising the board years ago.
Years ago.
I was thinking I was here too.
Yeah, you might have been.
Who are the members that aren't here are going to be online too?
This is all we have for members right now. There's five members on the board now.
Oh, okay.
Normally.
Okay.
Yeah, this could be a discussion point.
Jane just resigned, Jane Tate, so she's, they'll have to appoint someone to replace her. She resigned, I got the letter anyway last Friday, so it's fairly recent.
Okay.
All right, any changes or additions to the agenda? right, can I get a motion to accept the agenda as written?
I make a motion.
Iris?
I'll second it.
Carol, okay. All right, public time, guest remarks, any comments or?
Gotta vote first.
Oh, sorry. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Public or guest remarks? Iris back there too, so.
I'm good.
Chris, do you want to say anything?
Public or guest remark?
No.
Okay.
All right, so we'll move on. So has everyone seen the minutes from February?
I'm not hearing really well, so I'm trying to do the watch it and do the WebEx at the same time, so.
Okay, I'm not sure how to make it louder. We can hear you good. Okay, we'll just try and speak a little louder.
All right.
If it's possible.
So has everyone been able to read the February minutes? Because we haven't approved those yet. I know they were sent out a while ago now. And the other minutes I wanted to address at this time too is we had the telephone conference when we had to talk about what to do with the library and closing or opening and things like that. So if you should have received those also in an email, and I want to just approve those and get those into the record. So any questions on the February minutes?
I want to say I've received those, but I'm not going to vote because I wasn't here for those meetings.
All right. All right, can I get a motion to approve the February minutes?
I'll make a motion.
I guess I'll second it.
All right, all in favor, raise your right hand. All right.
And I'm abstaining because I wasn't here. Okay.
And then the March conference telephone call with the talking about how to address the pandemic situation. Any changes or corrections on that? All right, can I get a motion to approve those?
I'll make that motion.
All right.
And I'll second.
All right. All in favor, raise your right hand. Okay.
And I'll abstain because I wasn't here.
Okay. All right, now approval of disbursements.
They just came out today, so they were left out of the financials earlier. So.
Well, we have to do March.
March, yeah.
And I looked through the April. I did get a copy, so I looked through there and added up the disbursements so we can at least do that part. Okay, so in March, the total between the state and the general fund was $91,686.74.
I think that can be answered on camera.
So can I get a motion to approve those disbursements?
What are you looking at?
On March, and you have to look at this. It's not lumped together at this point. You have to look at both the state and the general fund. And then you have to look at there's two sets. One is a year to date and one is a monthly. So let me circle it up. one is ready. Okay, this is February. Is our March is in here too?
I don't think I have that.
There are extra over there, right?
Yes.
Helen. So there should be a March and...
Can you get me one while you're over there?
It's March.
Sure. And one for ours.
This is February. And one April?
Sure.
Might as well take April too, if you haven't looked at it.
I've got it.
We just got those today, right?
You've got April?
I've got April.
Okay, I'll put April back.
Oh, I didn't pick up February, that's why I can't find it.
Oh, yeah, that was February was when we had...
Oh, it was, okay.
All right, so in March, if you look at, let's see.
I don't mean to have my back to you, but...
That's all right.
Can't read it otherwise.
That's all right, I understand. All right, now let's see, we're on page... State expenditures, monthly statement. It's on page 8. At the bottom, the second column, it says current month. Total expenses was $10,842.86. And then to get the general fund expenditures, you have to go to...
And you're looking at February?
I'm looking at March.
March, okay.
March on page, so the two totals are on page 8 and page 16. It's the second column. And so I was adding those two totals together to get the total disbursements.
So on page 16, are those disbursements out of the general fund?
Yes. That's just the general fund, the $80,000. And then at the on page 8 at the bottom is just the state fund. It's separated out. We haven't been able to get it combined yet.
Oh, okay.
Did you have any, do you guys want to look through this? If you have any questions about anything in here, we don't have an accountant with us. But I'd like to at least get the disbursements approved, and then if you have questions about the specific accounts, maybe they could email to you, Rob,
yeah,
and you could get them to Teresa.
I can. And she was going to try to join
to WebEx
online. But I do have to report for April, but I guess we're early.
And the good news is it's under budget, so... And then there's another set of documents in there, Patton, that are the expended year to date.
Okay.
And those are just to give us a percent of the budget that we've consumed so far, mostly,
okay.
Is why they did those up that way.
Okay, thank you.
So the state expenditures year to date are at 79% of budget. As of the end of March, so. And then the general fund, as of the end of March, is at 65%, 65.8% of budget. So any questions about the March statements, or anyone want more information, or?
This is on the very last page, 21. What are unobligated funds?
So unobligated funds are the funds that are, it's the difference between what was spent and what was budgeted.
Okay.
Any other questions? We ready to proceed with the disbursements?
So we voted in our phone conference to approve February, correct?
Right.
Okay, so I'll make a motion. We approve March's disbursement.
Okay. I guess Iris is seconding.
I'm second.
Okay.
All right. So all in favor, raise your right hand.
And I have to abstain because I wasn't a member.
Okay. All right. So that's March. And
let me get April because I just have the number. I don't have to do this.
So the same thing as far as the totals are split between the state expenditures.
It's $84,005.24.
Right. So the state expenditure total is on page 8 again in the April. And I would guess that page 16 is the other total. Yes.
And I have some specific overview things that she provided earlier today.
Oh, that Teresa provided?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you realized, Patton, that the accountant we have is unwell at the moment. She's can't work. So we've been using Albano as a second source anyway for helping, second set of eyes for her and things like that. So that's Teresa works for Albano. And,
oh, okay.
So she's going to have to
take
over. Yeah, she's going to have to take over while.
Lots of stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. While we don't have Ann here for now. Because she's out for a while, right? Through July, I think.
She is scheduled to be out until June 15th.
Oh, okay. Middle of June.
We'll see where it goes from there.
Okay. So if you want to read
sure.
Comments from Teresa on the April.
Okay. She provided a brief overview of financial statements. All observations are based on information provided the Smith County Public Library for preparation of April financial statements. First statement, cash is up $53,204 from last month due to the receipt of final quarterly state payment. In the last month, the library used $10,877 of the prepaids we've been using for collection, leaving $29,400 still available. Accounts payable were higher this month, around $4,500. Revenues, which is our money we brought in, exceeded expenses by $40,000 for the 10 months ended April 30th. cash collected for April was $105,870. Total state expenses on an annual basis are $75,500 under budget at the end of April. Those, which typically we would have to spend by the end of the fiscal year, we have gotten an extension from the state library, so we don't have to spend all those in a crazy rush at the end. But we will have spent both it and next year's money by the end of the next fiscal year.
Oh.
All right, and total general fund expenses on an annual basis are $283,200 under budget at the end of April, which is, we've spent 72.42% of what we had budgeted, so
okay.
2 months ago. So we're still running between 9 to 10% under.
Okay. I noticed in the revenues, the town of Chilhowee was at 50% still, and we've only got 2 months left. Do they do a certain pattern that
they
offset from what we do?
We usually get quarterly payments from Chilhowee and Sauble. We'll have to see we just put a Chilhowee check in the bank this week.
Okay.
And we'll have to see where the last one stands.
Okay.
And
so the revenues are on page 5. From the towns and the Board of Supervisors, the county. Any other questions about April?
Why is there no money in the current period from the town of Marion?
Because we have not received the check yet. It could have come after they ran this or something like that.
So do all these entities pay by the month?
No, the county pays us monthly, town of Marion pays us monthly, the state pays us quarterly, and Sauble and Chilhowee both pay us quarterly.
Okay.
There is delay. I'm sure the COVID stuff probably is affecting the health, their schedules too. So we will check on them if we are still missing some that we should have.
Okay.
Look on page 13 of the general.
What's that?
On page 13.
Page 13. Okay.
Where it says cereals.
Yeah, I'm not sure why that says zero, because I know we've spent money
on
it's cereals.
It's not a total there, but nothing up there in the top to show you
where
it was spinning. So I don't know how it came to that total.
Yeah.
What total? That $1,554.75?
Oh, that's software state.
That's a different line item?
Yes.
Okay. You know me, I went like below the line. I didn't see the total below that line, so I took that as a total.
I also think that cereals might be under state funds because it's in the general.
Oh, maybe. That's why it's zero.
Do the funds have to be accounted separately from the general fund to the state fund?
No, that's just how they've done it. And they did that because the only restricted funds we have in great amount are state funds, and there are some limitations on how those can be spent.
Okay.
So we wanted to make sure they're spent in a certain way and that and nothing is,
Okay, so you kept it separate for that. Okay.
Any other questions? Are you ready for disbursements? Dawn pointed out the two funds came to $84,005.24.
Uh-huh.
Can I get a motion to approve the disbursements?
Make a motion to approve April.
I'll second.
I'll abstain since I wasn't a member. It's like a broken record.
That's all right. All right, so. All right, director's report.
Okay, since our last official meeting, we've had much upheaval, mostly illness related, like everywhere else in the world. I often brag on our people, and I'm going to continue to do that. In a situation where none of us knew exactly what to do and how it was going to go, we had to unfortunately furlough our part-time people, and hopefully we'll get to get them back as soon as possible. The full-timers all decided to stay on working rather than go on to unemployment. And they are doing a lot of work in exemplary fashion. Byron Johnson, our building and grounds supervisor, has done top to bottom cleaning of this building here, along with a lot of other projects that take a little longer, some of the landscaping, some of these, like I said, we used to have a bookshelf sitting behind this Dimmick. That's been taken down to make this room larger for programming in the future. We have a couple of employees who cannot work from the library because they have compromised family. And they have been doing professional development webinars and trainings, reference questions, some interlibrary loans, and some basic research projects that I've given them with excellent results. Our public services staff have initiated and carried out the curbside service. We just completed week three of that. And it's doing gangbusters. Almost every appointment at every location have been full. Most of the people actually come and get their stuff. And we have had upticks in people asking for them, especially after we had the newspaper had an article on Saturday that talked about that and gave us wonderful publicity about how that was. The way we have done it, I have shared our procedures with library groups elsewhere. Which we have gotten accolades from a lot of the state library directors, some questions as to how we handled it. A library system of 12 libraries in Springfield, Missouri, basically followed us to get there started. It's been really, really impressive how things have gone. And we're just going to keep going because we're not sure exactly where we'll go from here, but. So far, so good, and we have maintained most of our bills paid and our money coming in despite some breakdown, some of the financial challenges. The accounting firm has taken over some of those duties for Ms. Lowe until she can return, and it's. I'm here typically 6 days a week, and you can really tell how much this library means. By library, I mean all three system means to our communities by the interest on when we can come back to work and when they can come back in, the amount of materials that they would turn in. During this period, because we have to keep unloading book drops because there are so many of them, and then quarantine them. Then with the curbside, and it's, and the well wishes that we get, from the people who are receiving these services have been really, really rewarding. And so I'm here for all of the curbside in Marion. I'm here, I'm there, I'm in Chilhowee for all the curbside in Chilhowee. I haven't gotten to see the ones in Saltwell yet, I've just heard the stories and it's going well. I think we're doing as well as can be expected, and we'll keep plugging along as we go.
Okay.
Oh, okay, you know, our digital services. We've had lots of different types of web-based services, mini story times of different types. Amber Combs is initiating a craft thing online. Yeah. Chris Sheets has been running book clubs online.
Yeah,
on that one.
And, you know, it's really interesting to see how my coworkers at each location handle these things differently, because every location has, you know, each of the staffs have different strengths, the patron bases have different needs, but, you know, they are all being met. They are all being met creatively and not in the same way at each location. This whole scenario, you know, it really illustrates the talent and expertise that people who work here have. And it's actually, I mean, in a horrible situation, I know, but it does, I think that people are beginning to see just how valuable these staff are. They're not just here to, you know, as a clerk. They do lots and lots of valuable work, and I'm glad to see that.
Good.
I think that's it.
Yeah, I thought the curbside service was a great step. I'm glad the employees were willing to do it and the public wanted it.
Because I was getting the bottom of the barrel. Yeah.
Well, if I can, I think that all of us, me and Heather and Chris, all of us have enjoyed doing it, because I know I've talked to Chris several times, and there's lots of patrons that she talks to all the time, and, you know, here too, and it's just, it's always great to hear their voices. Mm-hmm. And so it's been good for us too, because it's good for us to be able to call and give everybody who is looking for books and looking for movies something to look forward to.
Hard being at home.
It's going to continue to be hard, because, you know, the summer reading program was supposed to start in June. Mm. And that's going to look very different than it ever has. Mm-hmm. We're not even really sure exactly how it's going to go. You'll see some of the summer reading supplies mm-hmm. that they have purchased that all came in on Friday. And they went, because they visited them out at that point, which there might be different ways to give them out to their public. Some of the family events have had to be postponed or just canceled or, you know, set aside for another year. Mm-hmm. And so we've got to figure out how those go. They're trying to determine what can be done, you know, more almost like a curbside service for programming, putting together reading bags and then reading logs from there. It's a whole new world.
Children are sure going to miss
really
that, because I brought my grandchildren, they'll be here like a week or so, and I'll bring them whenever they're here, and they get so excited.
Yeah, we heard today that the wave pool in Saltwell wasn't opening, and that they had one there that was going to be a dual program. Mm-hmm. It's just a shame that stuff happened.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions for Rob, or anything else you guys want to highlight?
Well, we haven't heard the only official word we have on money for the next fiscal year is we are supposed to get $2,000 more from Chilhowee. John Clark told me that today, which is great. The working relationship that the Chilhowee Library has with the town has been really good. At a time where, you know, extra money is almost unheard of, we got some. So haven't heard anything from Marion. Haven't heard anything from the county. And I haven't heard anything from Salt. So the state, we are anticipating somewhere, you know, several thousand dollars than we got this year. As soon as we have those numbers, we'll start plugging with the next budget.
Okay. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the Board of Supervisors meeting, and the only reason I left it on there is because I wanted to point out that the last meeting, I know they appointed Patton. I'm pretty sure last meeting they did that.
Okay.
So Patton's joined our group. Do you know, I don't know quite how they're picking people by district, or do you know if you replaced Rick, or? I'm just wondering how long your term is, if you have the full term, if you're replacing.
I contacted Roscoe and told him at the next board meeting that we needed another person, whatever district that not represented.
Yeah, I called Wade Blevins and talked to him about it.
At this point, it'll be, I don't think, which district are you with, Mr. Graham?
It would be Atkins.
Okay, so at this point, we have no Marion and no Rich Valley.
So this, my term expires in 2024.
Okay. So you have the full term. So you replaced Rick, must be.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's.
Which one was Jane Tate on?
She was Royal Oak.
Okay.
And was she a full 4-year replacement, or did she fit in for somebody? Or were you, Carol, the one who, did you take a partial term?
No.
Or a full term?
I think a full term.
I think it might be full, because we had two, well, we'll see, one resigned and one cycled off completely, so she came in after.
Because we had,
Yeah.
Can't think of the gentleman's name.
Howard Burton.
Yeah, Howard that had to leave, so I didn't know if you replaced him. I can't remember, but, or Jane did. Jane might have.
Jane, I think, might have been him.
Yeah,
and
so Jane.
And then we had a gap for a while.
Yeah.
And then Carol may have been in the spot that Nancy Smith.
Oh, right.
Had.
That's right. Nancy, too. Yeah.
But so hopefully they will appoint another one to have us at like a full complement of 5. And we need to have that done as soon as possible, at least by the end of the fiscal year, because over the past year, for the most part, we have been under the full complement of 5, which is required by state statute. When we lost Ms. Tate last week, I contacted the state library to see exactly how that affects us, because we'd gone down to 3 as we thought at that time. And as to what the ramifications were if we didn't have 5. Earlier this week, I was contacted by the state library because they looked into it, and what the ramifications are dire. If we do not have a 5-member board at the end of June, then we will lose our state funds. And we cannot survive that. So.
Will they not give a waiver?
They don't, they won't. That's
we've
not
had
what
some
we,
other
we asked.
Times that they've given us a waiver.
Yeah, but the reason was that we've almost been a year without a full complement.
Oh, okay.
Well, with Jane leaving last week, we really would have had full for this meeting, except then she left.
So we were almost there.
I know.
But
so her term is not up?
No, she resigned. Her term wasn't up, I think. Must be next year. Because mine's up the end of June.
Kim Armitrout with the state, she stressed how important it was for our Board of Supervisors to name at least the one we're short now, preferably also to add 2 more to the board as we have asked for prior.
To make us back to 7.
And but at the very least 1 before the end of June.
Didn't we need 2 though? Because
by July you'll need 2.
Well, we've identified 1 for there. They also suggested that we have a list of potential candidates that we can just present to them. Because I think gathering candidates may have been difficult. But if we have a list of people who have indicated at least a willingness to look into serving, then they, it should be easier for the board supervisors to make those calls.
So I had contacted Wade Blevins to ask him about, you know, appointing someone to replace me who was from Chilhowee, since that's where I am from. And so I'll call, make sure I get a hold of him in the next day or two to let him know the urgency of getting someone, to make sure I'm replaced right away, and then to talk to the board about getting someone right away. And again, if you can contact your representatives and...
I did call Chris Ratliff and told him that we just have some folks appointed. And he said it was a priority for the Board of Supervisors.
Okay. So they're aware that it's urgent, I hope. So. All right. All right, next down to open issues. The annual report. This was on the agenda, I think, for February.
It was a long time ago. We passed them out then. Then we're going to talk about it after you had a chance to read them. Honestly, I haven't looked at it since.
Yeah.
So we have other things to look at.
Yeah, I haven't either. Yeah. Do you want to defer this to the...
I think so.
June? Do we need a motion to do that?
I'll make a motion to revert to June.
Anyone want a second?
I've forgotten what the annual report is. I mean,
we maintain statistics from each location, and also, you know, through our financial statistics that we have to provide to the state library every year as a requirement for receiving state funds.
Uh-huh.
Those statistics, you know, help us, you know, identify, you know, tracking usage, which is very helpful. Those are also used to track usage nationwide. Because that goes to the Institute for Museum and Library Services, and they use those.
Does that have to go to the state board?
Well, they have to go to the state library because it's a requirement here. Other places, it's not necessarily a requirement to get federal funds, but that it helps.
Is there a deadline to get it to the state library?
Like it's in September or September, October. We're no problem getting it in because it was in. It's just we haven't really talked about it. The numbers were good. Some, as they have been, some traffic is up in different things. Some things are down in other things, like computer station usage, because people use their own wireless devices now, and we can't track wireless usage at present.
Mm.
But it keeps us able to meet the needs of our public because we know where we stand each month.
All right.
And it illustrates, you know, how well we're doing.
Okay. Well, then I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Say aye or raise your hand. Okay. New business. The COVID-19, the only thing I think we have really that we haven't already discussed maybe is your reopening plan.
I think the board was going to look at what, how long we're going to be closed or what we do in June. So the reopening plan, different libraries are putting those together sometimes. Some have already reopened, some have not. The one I put together was kind of, the dates were very tentative and arbitrary. The June 11th date I put there was the day after the June 10th date that the governor had given before. And it's also a day that each library is open. And because we don't want to open the first time without having each location able to do it. After I did that one, I found out Washington County is doing the same thing. So it's a logical move if that's how we go. It would need to be kind of a staged opening. Hopefully we can we can start easing our part-timers back in, especially our cataloger. because we may not have to process any new materials in this time, so they're basically stacked up.
She's the only cataloger we have.
She's the only cataloger we have, and we have her, she's halftime. She's excellent. I mean, so when we, with the pre-processing of materials that we had started, actually, you know, from receipt of material to, you know, shelf ready was only like 2 days. So once we, you know, we just keep having reasons why we get a backlog. So we'll have it again.
Is there anybody full-time that could catalog it?
Not like that. We have people who have, you know, kind of done a little bit of training as far as copy cataloging, but that is not something that we need, that we want to get to somebody who doesn't know what they're doing. Not that they can't learn, because especially they can, but, you know, when we, you know, we used to spend, we had two full-time employees focused both, you know, specifically on technical services and processing materials and cataloging. Now we have one half-time cataloger and one 15-hour-a-week processor, and we were doing well with that. But if there was another staff member we put there, then we have to take them off something else, and I don't know what that would be.
Well, you might think about cross-training.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we are. That's part of the thing we're doing.
Person. Yeah. Maybe one of the full-time people will be able to pick up and somehow point this out.
Oh, great. This is worst-case scenario situation. I wanted to have backups anyway for everything. And part of the things that we have people working on while we are out is a succession plan for each of their positions. Because, you know, we've had problems for not having a succession plan prior, and we never want that to happen again. But, you know, just realistically at this point, you know, we need to have what we've got back. Then we can look at later, you know, how it's going to apply.
So you feel in your plan, you've gone through phase one and two, mm-hmm. or you're at phase two. So what are the other libraries doing, like for opening?
Yeah, most of them are doing something comparable. Very few of them are just opening right up. They're going to be open either limited days or reduced hours, and determining on, you know, how exactly they function based on their size, as to like how many people we can let in.
Right. Well, that's what I was thinking. I know that's what some of the businesses are doing is they have the guards, the mm-hmm. plastic guards, and then they have they basically keep track of how many people come in and.
Yeah, and we have to like kind of count them as they come in.
Right.
Then you have to keep them separated. Right. So Salvador or Chohali could probably only have, I guess at most, I think it's 8 people there at a time. Here, more than that, but but making sure we keep them separate is a problem. So it's like we would have to kind of take away access to some of the machines, computer usage and printing. We looked at wireless printing also, because we wanted that for a long time anyway, so hopefully we can get that square. We have to put down the X's to see, you know, for when they're checking stuff out. How we handle children, that I don't know exactly. Because getting children to social distance is problematic. And, you know, our youth services people would like to have the children come back in for programs, but I just don't know that that's feasible at this point.
I saw in some places, like in the parks, they had made like circles on the grass so people could come but stay apart. So I don't know, there's options, I guess, for different ways to try.
There are.
But children are hard. You can't get children to sit in a circle, inside a circle and stay there.
Well, my question is, if you open with reduced hours, is that going to make it harder to keep the number of patrons low enough? It seems to me that you might need full hours to keep your numbers down.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if we do that, I said, we'll make, you know, we'll have to make sure we factor in the extra cleaning time.
That's what I was gonna say, you may open a little bit, like have the full hours, but maybe open a little bit later. 10 o'clock, give them time to do whatever they need to do in the morning with the books and all the things different.
It's gonna be different however we handle it.
Well, I was thinking, the next board meeting is tentatively would be the 18th of June. So we could set that as a target date to have a final decision on opening. You wouldn't have to necessarily open in the early part of June.
True. I mean, if you did, so if we left that to opening to the public, okay, so for example, on the 18th.
It'll give us more time to know what's going on in the world as far as cases and incidents and whatever, and then...
And to ease our people back in.
Yeah.
Because right now, the hours fluctuate.
And I don't mean like full-time necessarily opening, but like you say...
Right, no.
Maybe opening part-time or opening full-time with limited access or, you know,
We could do different things. I mean, we could keep a curbside day.
Right. That's why you have one of those days,
pick maybe a couple of those, and then we have one day where people can come in and use computers, but be very strict as to how long that is that they're on them. For down here, I'm very happy now that we moved all the services upstairs. So we can move all. We're going to move all the seats out of here because we can't monitor people all the time.
You have cameras down here that you can see what's going on.
There's some cameras, it'll be easy. We'll just keep it locked. Now we don't get a lot of usage down here, but there's some. But we just make sure that we don't. Yeah, we just make them go upstairs.
Are we able to get hand sanitizer now?
We haven't ordered it in a while. I might ask that question to our building and grounds maintenance person. Byron, have you know if that kind of stuff is still available now?
We have about four left.
Okay.
And about four alcohol, to clean DVDs, stuff like that. The last time we tried to order, we couldn't get it. But now it's more available at Walmart, and I'm seeing more of that stuff.
Yeah.
When we do open, if we, we need it, I feel sure we can get it at Walmart.
And it's going to affect our supply budget. I mean, as we're needing more hand sanitizer, we need more cleaners, we need more masks. That's another thing. Just like I think all staff will be wearing masks. I don't know what we would do about public. I think we should probably encourage it. I don't know that we can require it.
I don't know. Some places do.
Some places are.
But we're public. So I don't know. I mean,
small children can't wear them anyway, little children.
Right, so.
But I do think you're going to have to look at how to deal with children. They can be with an adult if they're with them entirely all the time.
And they're going to have to.
And only one per adult or something. I don't know. You're going to have to restrict it somehow, I think. And I think masks are going to. We'll know more by in June what they're saying about stuff like this, but I kind of think it's going to might have to be required. I don't know.
That was my initial plan based on some research I've done and research that Jonathan Burchett had done, some other sample documents that are out there. When we decide we're actually going to have people come back in and have the staff come back in on a regular basis that can, then we'll discuss amongst each person in each location as to how we have, how we have to tweak the logistics of each one.
Have we put anything on the counters to, like the plexiglass or whatever
we
were doing?
We don't have that yet, no.
We're going to need to do something.
We're going to need to do something like that before you let people back in.
So I would propose maybe looking at the 18th, like is the date we meet. So if you have things kind of in place and we can see what you have, or you can tell us what you have and how you think it's going to be, and just have the final decision from the group at that point.
I think that sounds good.
So the employees will come back on the 11th, probably?
That's what I would guess. Again, it gives us a week. It might be, I might have them come back, maybe that Monday before. Just to make sure we get everything done. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, and then you can always contact us, you know, with email or something if something comes up or if there's issues or concerns that.
So, you know, if we're, you know, making progress on that, that might be a time where we can start experimenting with additional curbs out of the curb service base.
How do you feel about that, Helen, like getting to the point of opening the doors, say in mid to late June?
I think that would probably be good. I know there's stuff that we have to talk, you know, get through and everything. But I feel like there needs to be a time between, you know, before we open, at least a little bit of time so that when the full-time come back, like all day or whatever, we can get all the stuff situated that we need situated and set up everything, that sort of thing. But I think that would be good.
Okay.
I think all of us are kind of antsy to get back.
I mean, that will be handy.
What do you think about adding another curbside day in the meantime?
I think that's fine.
Is it doable for you all?
I think so. Tracy's helped pull books. Amber has helped pull books. Elaine has been in and helped pull books.
How about the smaller one?
Those are going to be harder. So.
I know Chris is pretty wore out by the time.
Chris is very wore out.
True.
Unless we could bring back some.
And unless we can bring back part-timers, which is, I mean, it's, you know, that's.
I was going to beg for a cataloger anyway.
Well, and if that.
A lot of them are not wanting to come back. They'd rather volunteer.
Well, actually, our cataloger wanted to come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will picture that.
The cataloger, you might be able to let her.
Come back. Before, it was just, we had that dichotomy between full-time and part-time. We didn't want to.
Especially if there's a lot of work to do.
Yeah, there is.
It might be a good time to.
There's a lot of work for her to do.
Train somebody else.
Bring her on in and while it's quiet and get her.
Amber, and I talked to Amber, and I kind of shifted some of the curbside stuff to her, and Elaine's going to help her with it, because I've kind of been doing a lot of that. But so that I can get down here, and Amber's also going to help too, about how to route the books, to get that done, so we can get that ready for Janet, so that when y'all do allow her to come back in, that she won't have to worry about kind of doing that much. She can kind of, her and Jill can kind of jump back into processing.
So now the pre-processed books that come in, what do you have to do with those? Are they just pretty well ready to go on the shelf or?
They're mostly ready to go. What we have to do is just check off, make sure that they're here. And then Janet looks at the records that have been sent in by email. Make sure that all the books that she has match the records and stuff like that, and then she uploads the records into the system. And then if there's anything left that needs to be done, like if some of them come in with short records or no records, and that's where she has to do the most work on those. But most everything comes in with the barcode, the stickers, stamps, and so she kind of spot checks for errors, which there are some every now and then. And the branches have also been really good at spotting those too, because Chris and Heather are really meticulous when it comes to their books coming in. And, you know, which is good though, because that way if there's a problem, they can let her know. And so, and then when Jill comes back, like the paperbacks and stuff, she does a lot of the paperbacks and the movies to help out. So.
All right, so do we want to make a motion then to propose that to look at having the opening be June 18th, when we have the next meeting, with additional curbside service and having maybe the part-time cataloger come in between. Do we want to make that a formal motion at this point, I think?
I'll make a motion that we add additional curb service if possible, and or we get the cataloger back in, and opening on the 18th, after the 18th.
Okay.
Is that it?
I think so.
I would make a motion that we would discuss reopening on the 18th and try to open on the 18th, but I think the other issues are really under the purview of the director.
Okay. All right. You want to make that the motion then?
I don't remember the procedure on how you do that.
You just say you're making that motion.
I am making that motion.
Then we just get a second? All right, Iris, and then all in favor, raise your right hand. All right, motion carries. All right.
Okay, so let me make sure I know what we've got. So on the 18th, we're going to rediscuss when the opening is. But until then...
I've got to breathe in it.
Oh, okay.
It gets rough, man.
But until then, we're going to ease the cataloger back in, add more curbside.
Well, that's not for he.
No, my motion was for us to discuss the reopening projected for June the 18th.
On the 18th.
On the 18th.
And leave the other issues.
And get ready to do it.
And that was the end of it. The reason I said that is because personnel issues, I believe, are dealt with the director rather than the board. I don't
yeah, the
want to
rest
micromanage
Rob
what he's
right.
doing.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Right.
Does that make sense?
The 18th, we're going to re-address opening. And then he's...
Discuss reopening.
Yeah.
And I guess then we
but it's a projected date to reopen, too.
Right. Projected date, they can prep whatever they need to get ready to do it.
Sounds good.
All right.
And then in the meantime, Rob will decide about bringing the
catalog in.
Okay.
And the more curbside service.
He has our blessing to
do what
he needs to bring in staff to do other things, right?
Yeah.
I think what needs to be done.
No, I have one more COVID-19 thing for you.
Okay.
Today I was contacted by American Libraries, the publication for the American Library Association. And they want to interview me in regard to furloughed staff and what our experience has been. I told them I would have to let you all know about that before I could say yes or no. And so I'm now letting you know that. So.
Okay. And you're okay with that?
So they want to know what process
what
you
with
used
us?
To follow?
Yeah, what some of the challenges were, what some of the issues we had to look at were, how it's been handled. So
I think that's a great idea because it can help other people.
I mean, I was very honored that they asked me, but again, I wanted to make sure to let you all know.
Yeah.
I see no reason for you to abstain from that.
Yeah. I told them that's probably what you'd say.
All right. All right, then, next item on the agenda is the local officials concerns about persons experiencing homelessness.
This was the email that Ms. Wyatt forwarded to Jane while she was
right.
still here. Then we got this before the March meeting. And I guess at this point it's kind of moot, but it won't be as soon as we open again. There were several concerns that she said she had different constituents' voice in regard to homeless individuals in our library, and some of those issues she confirmed from personally seeing it. And then she asked what we were going to do. So I can. Because of an official request, I figured we have to do something.
What is the concern of having homeless people in the library?
Well, I don't see one. But
okay.
The concern addressed was that they essentially...
It was one person.
They used one person as the example. And that we have a young man who, over the past 6 months or more, has used our library almost daily. And he is probably experiencing homelessness. I haven't asked him, but just judging for how he uses the library, that's probably the case. He comes in early when we open. He stays till pretty much before we close. He sits in the study carrels out here in the foyer on the ground floor by the polishing. He's very quiet. He does carry his goods with him at each place, as do hikers from the AT who come in here. And he usually brings peanut butter and jelly, makes his own sandwiches for us here, because we do not have an anti-food policy. Usually he uses our wireless Wi-Fi, and he'll watch things on his phone. Sometimes he reads. He is exceptionally quiet, and he won't take charity.
He's not causing any problems.
He causes no problem whatsoever.
Has anyone else made a complaint about?
No, especially for hygiene, because that has not been an issue at all. So I'm not sure. I mean, I'm pretty sure he was there the day that Ms. White was talking about, but it makes no sense as to have to him being a problem.
It doesn't sound like you can really, it's not like you
can. It's a public building.
Right, it's a public building.
Well, the word used is loiter. Homeless people loitering in the library. No one can loiter.
Everybody loiters in a library. Is that the point of a library?
If they walk in the door, they're using our services. They don't have to be actively reading. They don't have to be actively looking for a book. They never have to check anything out, period. They can be simply here. Most of them will use the Wi-Fi.
Someone will be here just as a safe
place
to,
kick back for a while. This young man, he sleeps here. Sometimes there's a couch out there in the foyer.
You mean when you're open?
Right. So he sleeps on the couch sometimes.
He doesn't try to stay over.
We've had no problem with him whatsoever.
Okay.
Some people will voice concern over him sleeping on the couch, which normally they just say, hey, there's a guy sleeping on the couch, which we say, yes, and move on. Because just sleeping without something else is not a reasonable reason to, remove anybody. Because if you do that, you'd have to enforce that policy even-handedly, which you cannot do because, you would have to, if a young mother comes in with a six-month-old that is asleep, because I'm sorry, ma'am, you have to wake up your baby. And
I just don't think we can't get involved in that.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything to worry
unless
about.
Unless there's a rule being broken.
It was disturbing to see that, especially from somebody who used to work here. There was an implication that because that we removed the services from this area, that it's having the homeless individuals on staff is some sort of danger to our staff that we have here, which has not been the case at all. Moving things upstairs, a lot of our homeless patrons use the stuff upstairs, and some of them have challenges and mental issues, but we serve them the same way as we serve everyone else.
Right.
So if they've not done something else, that is contrary to policy, they may act strangely to some people. So, okay. We have one guy who does karate moves just out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. But as long as that's not against the rule.
Yeah.
I'm actually very happy to see that. People are that comfortable coming here and staying here, and how understanding that our staff has been in dealing with these individuals, and sometimes there's an issue which we'll address, but it's also it's just having the treating these people with respect.
And your staff's not uncomfortable at all?
No.
Okay. So I think that's the main issue, is are other patrons uncomfortable, and if your staff is uncomfortable, and if they're not causing problems, I don't think you can really do anything about it.
Well, and that which is good, because I'm always welcome to talk with anybody who has any type of concern over anything, any policy or situation at the library, but almost never will anyone actually come to me and tell
me. Yeah.
And this was the case here.
So
discouraging, but that's how I would address it, by essentially ignoring it.
I mean, did she indicate she wanted a response? Or
actually, I have a copy.
You know, I think that's something that you just handle. I don't think that needs any board action. It's nice to tell us about it.
Well, they sent it to y'all, so that's why we...
Oh, they did? Okay.
Sent it to Jane.
They sent it to Jane and y'all and all the board members. How it was written, let's see. Sent by Judy Wyatt to her appointed library board member, Jane Tate. Jane, I've had complaints from local citizens regarding what appears to be homeless person or persons loitering at the Marion Library. I personally witnessed this during my recent meeting held in the Copenhagen meeting room. From the time I arrived until my departure, there was a young male outside the meeting room. He appeared to have all his earthly possessions strewn out in the area, and the stench of body odor was offensive. As the library board is aware, the downstairs level of the library no longer has public service staffing, which creates an additional concern for safety. Kim Armentrout from the Library of Virginia provided library policy information, which may be helpful in addressing the issue. And if you have any questions, let me know. So, you know, we had some policies there, which I looked at. They were from Richmond. They don't really even apply to LER. But that was it. So now we talked about it. So I'm not.
All right. Yeah. All right. So we'll move on to. We already talked about new trustee discussion, so I'll go ahead on to new chair election. So I'm the chair at present, but won't be after one more month, so we need...
Well, I make a motion Iris take that position, since she's the senior member of the board.
You had to know that was coming.
You did. I kind of figured it might come, but I was hoping somebody else would want it.
Would it be proper to, if, you know, I can understand why you might be reluctant because it's a, you know, large responsibility. Can you do it on an interim basis until they get a full complement of people named to the board?
But still, we need we need the senior member, I think.
I think it does make sense.
Because I've been here for how many months now, and I'm still clueless about financial things. So I really believe Iris needs to take that responsibility.
I will try it if you all will help keep me straight. I don't want to get out of line or...
All right, so we had basically a motion from Carol.
I made the motion.
And a second from Patton.
Mm-hmm.
All right, all in favor, raise your right hand.
Iris, vote.
We need a quorum. You have to vote.
Oh, mercy.
All right.
Congratulations.
Who's your vice chair? Do you have to?
Iris. You'll have to do all that. So you might want to. Can we defer that until we?
Yeah.
Get another person.
Or would you get another senior member?
Or Carol can volunteer since she's.
I'm too ignorant. I'm not telling girls.
Yeah, but she needs a backup if.
Yeah.
If she can't be here for some reason. Are you going to volunteer to be the vice chair?
No, let's defer that till the June meeting. By then, Pat may be ready to step in.
You can do it, Carol. But we can defer it to you.
All right. So why don't we defer that one to next month? And we'll see. Maybe in the meantime, they'll get us another person. Would be good. And then now, fun thing, the holiday schedule. Helen gave us, she gave us the Commonwealth schedule. And basically the dates coincide, right, Helen, the holiday for the library.
We have a few more on our schedule that are on the states.
Okay.
And so what I did was what we did last year is I did the new schedule exactly how the old schedule would appear.
Okay.
If we did the same thing, but then provided, I think that like the 4th of July is on the 3rd for the state, but we've always left it on the 4th.
Which is a day you're normally open, so, right, Saturday this year?
Yeah, it's the 4th.
Yeah, every library is open on Saturday.
Yeah, so.
So this year, the state is doing the 3rd, which is Friday, and ours would fall the 4th, which is a Saturday.
Okay.
Wouldn't you rather be closed on Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
I thought.
Yeah. And then the state does not have an Easter holiday,
I think we decided on that, lady.
And then I just put it in there like this year.
Yeah.
And then the only other difference is the state does the 24th and 25th for Christmas, but they're usually closed the 26th, and we do the 24th, 25th, and the 26th. Oh, and then on, from the mind of this too, the 25th of November is a four-hour holiday that the state usually gives for the day before Thanksgiving.
Yes.
And we've always gone with that, but that is also upon y'all's approval.
You have to have that time off.
Yeah.
You gotta get your turkey ready sometime.
Right. So basically, this one is the same as what we had before.
Just
a different days.
Do we still have Columbus Day, or did they change it to Election Day?
This says, theirs is Columbus Day and Yorktown Victory Day, October 12th. I just listed as Columbus Day. I don't see anything on theirs about Election Day.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. I know it was talked about in the legislature, but I don't know what ever happened with it.
Well, they talked about taking that January holiday that's Martin Luther King Day. Mm-hmm. No, it was President's Day is what they talked about taking and moving it to Election Day, I think. Right, Patton? Did you read that in the newspaper?
And they didn't have one posted for 2021 yet, so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm okay.
Just
with
curious about one thing. Does the state list as the holiday as Christmas holiday and Easter holiday? Does the state list it that way?
State doesn't have Easter on here at all.
Okay.
According to this, they've got, it goes from February, which is the George Washington Day on the 17th, to May 25th for Memorial Day.
Wow, okay.
And then what was the other one? Thanksgiving?
Christmas.
Oh, Christmas. Christmas, they do 24. And 25.
Do they title it though as Christmas?
25 yes. Says okay. Christmas.
8 hours additional holiday time for
well,
the
24th. Well, it says pay holiday time for the 24th, and then the 25th says Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So
at some
okay
point, we might want to list that Easter as like spring holiday or something like that.
We
just so
die.
We're not.
Yeah, I understand.
Throwing wasp stuff out there.
Okay.
Yeah.
We use Good Friday instead of saying Easter at work. Because that's what is on the calendar, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we can change that one.
Everybody okay with these dates?
Yeah.
All right, so can we get a motion to accept the holiday schedule? As Helen's got it here. You say so moved, okay, in a second.
Second.
Carol, everybody in favor, raise your right hand or your left.
my left kind of stays
I
raised.
I see
up.
That. All right. All right, so we are ready for closed session. Do we need it today?
No, we don't do it today. But I think we're good.
Okay. Location, time, and next meeting. So it was the 18th.
Are we back at Southfield?
So, I'm sorry, I missed what you said about the closed session.
We always leave it on there in case something comes up.
Oh, but there's not a purpose for one.
Not today.
Got it. Okay.
Well, so the only reason I picked here was because of the space.
Yeah, so.
So I think maybe
one more here
to accommodate the space, and we'll see how things are going, if that works for everybody.
Okay.
So it'll be here at the Marion Branch. And it'll be on the 18th of June.
June
5:30. Okay.
So do you also want to do the Facebook Live again?
Yeah, if we're not
Unless the governor completely opens the state.
Yeah, so, yeah, let's tentatively plan to do that, Helen, and then, you know, we'll see what happens between now and then. All right.
Helen, I'd like to say I appreciate you doing the minutes.
Oh, you're welcome.
And posting those, because I don't know what quality we're gonna get with the sound.
It'll be in.
This time, so at least they will have a good written accounting of the meeting.
Well, I wanted to say, it's like, I guess officially, I thank Jane Tate for the time she spent.
Yeah.
On the board and, you know, how diligent she, you know, and the questions she would ask, it was, you know, she, you could tell she really, really cared about the library and how it was going. And I really appreciate that. And I really appreciate Mr. Graham stepping up to join the board, because we need, you know, as many interested parties who, you know, to help us going forward as we can get.
Well, something that you mentioned, Carol, about all the funding and stuff, it took me almost the whole time I was on the board last time to figure that out.
Well, I'm not sure I'll ever get it.
It's really complicated, and this depends on this, and this depends on this. And
to be honest, I never really understood it a whole lot until the way that we are getting the information now from the accounting firm is easier for me to understand, because because they've been very clear, and I think, and because we they want to keep our contract, which is good, but it's been very helpful for me to read the things, and I'm hoping that continues, because now we have them on a, you know, a monthly contract, so that they will be handling lots of different things, including payroll, and which I think is going to be a very efficient way of handling our financial states.
So what duties will Ann have when she's able to come
back? Ann will still be helping prepare the financial reports. She providing information. She will do a lot of the purchase assistance, and so she would be check-ins, ordering, all that stuff coming through her. That particular office is in desperate need of updating and changing it over from all paper to something more digital and easier to get, easier for access, because the filing system is not really clear. So, and that in itself will take a while, and she will be able to devote more time to that, and we'll also get her help for that too. Hopefully, I'd like to see a lot of those things get scanned, so that we have these, not only a lot of filing cabinets, but also having things on, you know, online that we can refer back to. And there's a lot of things in there that can just be thrown away. There's years of files that I think can go. She's already worked on some of the inventory that some of it's been so long it became obsolete. It replaced something, it was there for a while, then became obsolete, now you can't use it. There's lots of work. And then she will also have the day-to-day stuff, which is very important. The Albano and Associates was purchased by the Lawhorn Group in Knoxville, which will help do oversight. Their accounting software is included in our contract, which is and replaces an $8,000 a year annual contract from the current system, which was described to me as, like, you know, we had a Rolls Royce system when we needed an Escort, but we don't have enough for that to actually make it worthwhile, and it wasn't being used efficiently, and I certainly don't want to pay $8,000 a year for something that's not efficient. Any additional support would cost us extra. And with the new system, it will be included in our, you know, our monthly fee. The only thing that is not included in our monthly fee that we're using at this point, because of Ms. Lowe's inability to be here, is, you know, help with you know, accounts payable, sending checks out to vendors. We should still make out less, because it's an hourly rate. It will probably still be less than what we're paying. We'd have paid for an individual, because Ms. Lowe is not receiving income during this period. And we will always have that backup if necessary.
Okay. Can I get a motion to adjourn if we're set with everything?
I'll make that motion.
Second. Everybody in favor?
Yes.
Everybody in favor, stand up.
Oh, yes.